Do your feet sweat in work boots? If you struggle with sweaty feet, you need the best-selling Camel City Mill lightweight work sock. You'll have dry, comfortable feet as their sweat-wicking merino wool is 35% better at wicking moisture compared to polyester socks. Plus, a 10-year durability guarantee thanks to their proprietary Ironside Merino Wool and Nylon Fortified Heel and Toe. Your feet won't hurt and recover faster because of the compression in the arch and calf, which helps circulation through a full 14-hour shift. Expect all-day comfort, even with steel-toe boots due to the extra cushion in the toe. These socks are completely USA-made in North Carolina. Order ship within 24 hours, and anything over $50 ships for free. To get your socks today and see how insanely durable these socks actually are, go to CamelCityMill.com and use the code DIESEL15 and get 15% off your first order. Remember, use the code DIESEL15 for 15% off your entire order at CamelCityMill.com.
Hey, welcome back to Sweat and Grime, guys. I'm your host, Brian.
And Rick.
And we are back for another episode. And in all honesty, we were just talking about it here. Neither one of us is sure where this episode's going to go. I do want to start off by talking about something that was revealed to us here just a minute ago.
Oh.
You don't drink milk. What kind of weirdo doesn't drink milk?
Who drinks milk?
Milk is delicious. What are you talking about?
2%er or whole milk?
Oh, I love whole milk. I can't do whole milk all the time because I get fat because I drink so much milk.
Yeah, I don't drink milk no more. My grandpa used to make ice cream when I lived with him in the summer times helping on the farm.
Yep.
And he'd literally take the cow tit, get the milk into the bowl.
Do we have to edit that?
No.
You said tit. I said tit.
Well, it's better than penis. So.
Why are you the way that you are?
I ask that question every day. And so he'd come in, and if you haven't ever had ice cream from the cow, it's fucking disgusting. So he churns, I think it's the word, churn.
With a churn, yep.
Yeah. So we'd milk the cow, and I'd get down there and help him pull the udders and shit and give a little to the cat. Wait, you know?
Just to back up here, were you milking the cows or the bulls? Maybe that's why you hated it so much.
Well, it depends if it was like if it was going to be pre-calving season or if we were doing like ice cream shit, you know, for the milk. So, yeah, dude, I'd help my grandpa sit there and pull the udder, the teat,
you call it.
And do you know, like if you look at a farmer's hand, like how muscular they are, they have certain hands.
Oh yeah, there's around. You can't just now for anyone listening, if you're not familiar, you can't just jump in and squeeze a teat.
No.
You've got to have a methodical motion. You got to roll those fingers.
Yeah.
So that you're
fucking dude, time you're done, your hand's so sore.
Oh, it's brutal. Like,
it's harder than fucking jerking off.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like it fucking hurts, dude.
So bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Tell us more, Rick.
So here we were, balls deep. But
balls deep and milking a bull.
That's right. From the backside.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
But yeah, so we're sitting there and we'd come in with like this big old bucket of cow milk.
Yep.
And you would scrape the cream off. Shit off.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking.
Oh, no, the Femunda shit. It was nasty. Like the.
Okay. I'm thinking. Of the next step where you actually take the cream and skim it off, which is delicious.
I don't know if it was the next hour or next day.
Yep.
I was young.
Gotta let the cream rise.
Yep. Oof. Oh, yeah. Fucking nasty.
Oh, it's so good.
So then he'd take that with like some ingredients and he'd throw it in a blender. We'd stick it in the freezer and then we'd have ice cream. And I don't know about you, but I don't like to chew my ice cream. Right?
Yeah.
Like you literally had to chew this shit instead of just.
I think you've had a terrible experience with this whole ice cream and cow milk thing.
Milk is just fucking disgusting.
Oh, it's so good. You know? I will legit drink about a gallon. Yeah, a gallon to a gallon and a half myself over a week. It's so good.
You know, you're probably one of the guys that fucking instead of pull the toilet paper over, it goes back around the wrong side and it comes under the toilet paper.
I'm not an animal.
You drink
milk. I'm not an animal.
Yeah.
That's, you drink milk. You got other issues if that's the way you roll toilet paper. Like, hey, there, you got,
you know, look, dude,
you need to reevaluate your life if that's the way you roll toilet paper. So we're, I won't say I've stooped to that level.
Mango tear?
Yeah, exactly. You need to think about your life decisions if your toilet paper goes off the backside of the roll.
Milk's gross, though. You know, you don't even need milk to live. Like, you could drink water. You don't have to drink milk.
You don't have to drink. You get to drink milk.
What goes good with milk besides, like, cookies?
You got cookies? Anything sweet. So if you're doing pie, get you a glass of milk with it.
What about coffee?
It cuts that sweet. Oh, you got to put cream in coffee?
No, I drink it black.
I know you do, and that's weird. Like, black coffee is just like, if I wanted to lick someone's asshole, that's drinking black coffee.
Well, then I'd take another cup of fucking ground and throw it in the filter for me.
But no,
let's start a debate here. Let's ask the audience of what they talk.
Okay, now I can legitimately, it's not just a plug.
Yeah.
Head over to dieselandironproductions.com.
Yeah. Let's start a debate.
Go to the podcast tab. And you can come to this episode. It should be one of the first ones up. And you can comment down below. Let us know, do you drink milk? Do you like creamer in your coffee? Because I'm going to tell you
legit. What about black coffee?
Right
now. Straight up black
coffee.
Fuck
the black coffee.
And fuck the creamer. Fuck black coffee.
Creamer opens it up. It gives you all those nice flavors and aromas that coffee's really known for having.
Take your fucking man.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm drinking beer right now. And you're just going to have to deal with some burps on this one. I'm sorry. I'm an animal.
Brian's got a man pun.
You
done messed up, A.A. Ron!
So there's how we're firing off this episode, apparently, because we don't really know where we're going with it.
These nuts.
So, okay, I do have something legitimate that we can talk about.
All right.
Weed. What do you think about weed in the industry?
Well, weed in the industry, I don't think it's a bad thing. You know, it really depends on the employer, drug testing, this and that. They make fake piss. You could pass a couple of tests, just FYI.
Just a disclaimer, everyone. We officially did not say you can pass a drug test. I will agree with Rick. If you choose certain fake piss things,
you could pass.
You can pass. But we are not saying that you should.
I'm not saying you should.
That you will.
I'm not saying you should.
I just want to put that disclaimer out there.
I'm just speaking from the visual experiences.
Yeah, from what we've heard.
Yeah, those damn guys in Sweat and Grime told me this shit would work.
Bagel tear. Put it in reverse.
You know, I'm really not against it. You know, I used to have a guy, we call it Hot Rod Man, and he ran a bulldozer. And before lunch, dude, this guy, like, he was a phenomenal bulldozer operator, come down to finish grades.
Yep.
And, like, before lunch, like, I struggled to maybe get two, maybe on a good day, three, you know, depending on the lot size.
Yep.
And this guy we called Hot Rod lived up to his name. Like, he was in the NASCAR, had all the stickers and shit, and I thought that's why we called him Hot Rod when I was first in the industry. This dude had some fucking 100-mile-an-hour weed, and by lunchtime, he had one finish grade done, and by 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, he would have four or five, and they were precise, like 2 to 10th.
You know,
some people do really well.
Some people, I will say that some people, and I will say from my experiences with the tokers on the job, that is a very few select people that operate that way, because most of the guys that I know, when they fire up, they're fucking worthless for the rest of the day.
Some are. They get the munchies.
Yeah. They just don't want to do shit, and they think they're doing a great job, and it's like,
their production does slow down.
I will. So I'm going to back up before I say some things that sound like I'm shitting all over.
You are shitting all over.
I sound like it, but here's the honest truth. I'm sorry again for the burps. You're just gonna have to deal with it, guys. I've got a beer going. It's you know, 9 o'clock at night. I'm allowed to drink on my own podcast. Damn it.
Quit giving me shit. I guess.
God. Anyway.
Why are you the way that you are?
I don't know. It's just it's what you got to deal with. But no, legitimately, I am all for weed. I actually smoke every night. That's the way that I wind down in the evenings, because, like, I just, you know, having a beer is fine. Having a whiskey is fine.
Yeah.
But, like, getting shit-faced is, like, no. It's gotten to the point, especially now that I'm older, like, hangovers are fucking miserable.
You know, absolutely, I've actually miserable. Seen I've actually seen alcohol affect guys' performance come in the next day.
Oh, yeah.
Versus way a guy that got high last night, comes in, well, does like a phenomenal job.
So we've been working together for how long? At least a year that I've been legitimately coming on your job and working with you as an operator.
I would have to say two. 2 years.
Yeah. Are we really a 2 year? Yeah. Fuck.
Look, we ended last year's season.
Yeah.
We're about to end this year's season.
No shit.
Yeah.
That is 2 years. Fuck. Time fuck flies. That.
Yeah.
So would you say you've ever seen me just like totally off?
You want the honest truth?
Maybe not, but yeah. Give me the honest truth.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No, I haven't.
I was sweating that one for a minute, but no, I legitimately, that is my evening come down. We, you know, right before my wife and I get into bed to watch a show together, I come down to the basement, I light up, and then I get in bed, we relax, watch our show together. That's like my evening come down.
You know, some people, that's just what they enjoy and that's what they prefer. That I don't see a problem with it in the work field. I don't necessarily say go do it on the job.
No, 100%. And that's, you know, where I do want to be very specific that there is a time and place, and on the job is not it.
Yeah. Don't go out for lunch and come back high.
Yeah, fuck, you know? No.
There's nothing worse than smelling like fucking weed walking around, and then like OSHA shows up on the job or some shit.
But it even goes beyond that. Even if OSHA isn't a threat, even if you know you're not going to get caught, the bigger thing is, again, we talk about earth moving a lot on this show because that's what Rick and I know, but it applies to any of the trades. You know, if you're an electrician working around high voltages, you know, any of these trades where you're in these situations, which by default we are because we are the trades, you don't need to have your mind altered at all.
No, we're put in a lot of situations where you actually got to be thinking and present.
You got to be thinking clear. Yes, with no delay is the key word there. You've got to be clear-headed. And so I will say, I do not think, and I may have some people, feel free to jump on the website and disagree with me, but I am 100% opposed to guys smoking on the job. Do whatever the fuck you want. After you get off work, if you want to toke on your way home, by all means, I am all for that, and I will fight for you to have that right to do that.
What's on your time? Your time at the government these days? I mean, it's starting to come around where it's getting legalized.
Yep.
You know, dispensaries fucking popping up everywhere.
Yeah.
Edibles.
My first dispensary.
Edibles everywhere.
Yeah.
Like,
the dispensary was kind of a unique experience. I'd never been to one before.
I just don't think you could frown upon it when something's starting to come legal.
Yeah.
You know, so either side of the pendulum there, you know, you just went to your first dispensary.
Yeah.
Did you buy something?
I did. We bought a pre-roll, and it was actually rolled in wax, and then they rolled it in keef, and it was really, really good.
I know nothing about this shit.
It was really good. It was quite potent. Like two puffs and I was like, okay, we're good. We're sailing.
All right.
And then we also bought some edibles. And edibles, actually, believe it or not, so I've never been a huge fan of edibles just because it's really hard to gauge how it's going to hit you. And generally, you have this huge wide open window of it could take effect in an hour or in like three.
Depends how the batch was mixed out and poured.
Oh my God. So funny story. Back when I was just out of college, living down in Texas, I had a buddy of mine that we were, you know, best friends at the time, and we had a long history together. And so he was bringing basically, I knew she was going to be his wife over. Like they had been dating long enough. I hadn't officially met her. Is that a word? Metten. I had never Michigan. Met her. So I'd never met her before, and he was going to bring her over, but they had been dating long enough and I had been talking to him enough. Like, you know, there's just sometimes, you know, that's the one, and that's the way this girl was, but she's like a super staunch.
Are we on fucking cupid.com?
I think that's actually where they met, believe it or not.
Oh, I thought that's what this show was turning into.
No. So he's going to bring her. She's a super staunch Christian. She actually teaches at the college level, like Bible history. I don't even know what the fuck she teaches, but she's like super straight and narrow. And here I am, you know, Miss Fuck Off.
Down.
Yeah. And so at the time, kind of happening at the same time, I had a grandfather that was suffering from Parkinson's. And so it was kind of about, this is, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. So this is kind of when all of the stuff was coming out about how impactful weed could be for Parkinson's. And so I was like, well, fuck, I'm going to do a great thing here. I'm going to make my grandfather these fucking brownies. Oh, and yeah. And I'm going to let him eat the brownies and hopefully it'll help with the tremors.
And you probably didn't even tell him.
Oh, no. I was very above board with everything. I wasn't going to be an asshole and send him to the moon without his permission. But but he's exactly. So I'm like, okay, I'm doing this really chivalrous thing. I'm going to make him these brownies. So I hit up one of my contacts. I got this really high dollar weed. It was really good. It was a sativa, so he's not going to be super sleepy. And you know, I do all this homework on the internet of how you're supposed to, you know, you have to bake it in a certain way or else you actually bake off all the THC and you don't actually get any of the benefits. So I put a lot of fucking work and time into this project to make these weed brownies. And I'm on my way down to, they were living with my parents at the time. So I'm on my way down to my parents' place and I'm like, well, fuck, I don't know how to dose these things because I have no idea how strong these are going to be. I should probably eat a little bit and just, you know, a little bit, just enough to get a little buzz off of it. So I know kind of how to gauge. And everybody can probably predict how the story goes, but I'm going to tell it. So I'm on my way down. I'm like, actually, I think it was about an hour before I even left. I took a bite and I'm just waiting.
Hang on. You took a bite. You're on the way down.
No. This is before I even leave.
Oh, I was thinking like you're on the way down to Grandpa's house already.
Oh, no, not yet.
Oh, all right.
So I take a bite and I wait like an hour. It was an hour before we had to leave and I'm not feeling anything. I'm like, well, fuck, I
better eat this whole fucking thing.
Well, I was like, I gotta get a gauge because I don't want to send Grandpa to the moon. I just want him to kind of calm down a little bit. And so I'm on my way down and I take another bite. And it's about a 45-minute drive down to my folks. So right when I leave, I take another bite. And I get all the way to my parents' house. I'm like, what in the fuck? Like, I either bake these wrong or this is shit weed. Like, I'm not feeling anything off of this. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to take one more bite. I'm not doing any more. One more bite. So fuck, take one more bite. And my buddy and his girlfriend were coming over to meet all of us.
Yeah.
And so I'm hanging out with my grandma and grandpa there, sitting there talking and everything. I've only had three bites, and I'm not talking huge bites. Like these were reasonable bites. My goal was not to go on a space journey. My goal was just to get a feel. And so I'm sitting there talking to my grandparents, and I'm getting thirsty. So yeah, I get up,
fucking moonwalking.
Oh, dude, I get up and I go get a glass of water. And I think it was a combination of two things. So the first is it had been like an hour and a half since I had taken my first bite. And so that was starting to work. The second thing I think happened was all of that had been in my stomach long enough that the THC actually binds to like the oils in the food.
Okay.
And so I think what happened is when I took a drink of water, I took a nice drink of water, it floated all of that up to the top so that it just absorbed super quick. Because within 5 minutes of me sitting down with my glass of water, I was in space. And in another dimension, and my grandparents were talking, and in my timeline, I was taking about 5 minutes to respond to every question. And the whole time I'm like, Jesus Christ, I'm about to meet this girl and I can't even fucking think.
Yeah, you're fucking
like, I'm like, my head is just, it feels like ocean waves crashing.
You done messed up, Aaron!
Fuck yeah, I messed up. Like it felt like ocean waves were crashing over my head. Like there's just this whoosh, whoosh. And I'm just like, what? And everyone will ask me a question.
Losing it, man.
Yeah. And I'm like, people would ask me a question or the conversation would naturally be to a point where I'm supposed to talk.
It was just slow-mo.
And I just felt like I was staring at them when I'm like, wait, now it's my turn to talk. But what did they just say? Okay, she said this and he said that. An appropriate non-high response would be this. And then I would start talking. And to me, it felt like it was 20 minutes that everyone's just staring at me. And so that is how I met my best friend's girlfriend at the time. Now his wife. They did end up getting married.
You didn't do the smile and nod. Oh, dude, you're okay.
I'm sure I did. I'm sure I looked, I looked like an idiot over in the corner. But so we have this and I'm the whole conversation. They were over for like an hour and a half and the whole conversation. I am just like, I am totally fucking this up. Everyone's aware that I'm on the other side of the galaxy right now. And so the next day I come down from it and I talked to my buddy and I said, I just want to apologize about yesterday. And he was like, what do you mean? I said, you didn't think anything was wrong? He's like, well, you seemed kind of quiet, but no, not really. And I was like, well, thank God for that. I was high off of my ass. And he just dies laughing. He's like, what happened?
So you weren't passing the brownies out to everybody when you're sitting
that's
there?
That's right. Yeah, no. So I told him what happened and he's dying laughing. I was like, dude, I was on another planet from you guys. And we were communicating through satellites is the best I can explain it. So that batch of brownies, because I had that whole experience happen, I think my grandpa tried one of them and he actually overshot a little bit and went halfway to space. And so they ended up sitting in my parents' freezer.
Your grandparents did?
In my parents' freezer.
Oh.
And so the brownies resided there for probably a good like 3 months or so. And so during this whole stage of life, my wife and I were moving around. And so we moved in with my parents at one point in time while we were in transition to our new place. And so one night I'm sitting there, I'm like, well, fuck, I totally forgot about these brownies. I'm going to go. Now the goal is to go to space. Like, I'm going to go have a good time and not be paranoid this time because I don't have shit. I don't have anyone to talk to. So I go down to the freezer and I'm all excited because anybody that smokes weed, you know how when it's finally smoke time, like, or if you're going to eat an edible, like, you're excited. You're like, all right, it's all time. Right, party yeah. on. And so I pop open the fridge. No fucking brownies.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, what in the fuck? What happened? And I'm digging through everything. And my mom rounds the corner. She's like, what are you doing? And I was like, did you throw those brownies away that were in here? She goes, no. I said, do you know what happened to them? Yeah. I said, what happened to them? I ate them. And I just stopped and turned. Because remember, three bites and I was in space. We had a whole fucking pan of brownies in that bag. I was like, how many did you eat? All of them? I was like, what do you mean? That was a half pan of brownies by the time it was all said done. She's like, yeah. I said, what happened? She goes, nothing. I was like, bullshit, nothing. There's no way. She goes, I just got sleepy. I'm like, bullshit. You knew exactly
she
what
she was up there with fucking Space Jam. Exactly. She Martians. Was out there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She's wandering around the yard at 2 o'clock in the morning trying to touch the stars.
You know, you want to go back and talk about on the job weed.
Yep.
We used to have this dude called Chompers on the job. Dude.
You had a lot of nicknames on your jobs.
Dude had like Bucky Beef Dealer.
Joe 1, Joe 2, you got.
We called him Chompers, dude. He had like Big Bucky Beef Teeth. And he had teeth.
Teeth?
Yeah. He had teeth.
You had to pronounce them teeth because your lips couldn't fit over them.
Yeah, they're so fucking big. And dude got high as a kite all the time. And he come in with this smoking resume, dude. Like, he was flawless. When you put down everything on the resume, this was like the dude you wanted to hire. He had everything. He had the operating experience. He had the superintendent experience. He had a project manager experience. He knew how to estimate. Like, this dude was just amazing on paperwork.
Yep.
And I don't know if the dude was high at the time he wrote it, which I'd have to say, yeah, because of what I'm about to get into. But so he shows up and he's probably 12 years older than I am. And dude's constantly smoking down in the morning, running the machine. And at this time, I was like a foreman, right? And I get these phone calls from Jose. We had a couple Spanish laborers at the time. And this guy was like, I got demoted for a little bit. This dude took over. And I get this phone call. Hey, you're going to start letting Chompers dig the basements and run the jobs. And you're just kind of going to go do whatever. So, all right, whatever. And Jose calls me. He said, hey, amigo. I said, yeah, we got a fucking problem. I said, what's that? Oh, this fucking Chompers, he dug a basement. So, yeah, that's what he's supposed to be doing, Jose.
Mission accomplished?
Right. That's why I'm like, yeah, the dude knows what he's doing on paper.
Yep.
Well, you're going to have to come over here and see for yourself, amigo. I need some help. So I get over there. This dude has dug a fucking basement in a circle. He sat in the middle of the basement. Yeah, we were
dug himself an island.
Yeah, we were digging with like a PC 400, so you could reach way out.
You done messed up, Aaron.
And he has his like fucking pedestal And this dude's sitting there on the excavator and he can't get it down and he can't get it out. Right. And I'm like, what in the fuck, dude? Like,
what how kind do you of even do that? Yeah. Right. How do you even do that?
So I get him out. I jump up there and I run machine out, take care of business, whatever. End of the day, dude's sitting there toking up, you know, like he's somebody on paper. And I'm like, all right, yeah, whatever. Maybe the dude fucked up, never dug a basement. So I was like, this is how you go about it. Well,
step one.
Yeah.
Don't dig an island.
Right. So a couple of months go by and I keep letting the boss know. I'm like, yeah, you know, Chomper's there. I don't quite think he's all there. I think he was smoking a little weed with the paperwork that you got. I think that was someone else's.
Those leftover rolling papers?
Yeah. I think that was someone else's paper.
Yeah.
It's like he copied and pasted his name.
I'll borrow this.
So it was great, dude. The one morning we're sitting there, got all the head honchos coming in. We're getting ready to finish up this subdivision. All these developers are coming. Like the cutting of the ribbon's going to happen. The news is coming in. And Chompers comes back from the party store at lunchtime, reeking like weed.
Nice.
He's in the hoe, right? Yep. So at this time, I've kicked him out of the mainline hoe, which was the lead excavator on the job. I put him into the hoe pack.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because he was such a phenomenal operator. Right. I was like, yep. you're gonna really phenomenal that compaction over there, Chompers, right? So end of the day, after this long
day. By the
way,
just for anyone not in the industry, the hoe pack guy is the guy that you put in. So the hoe pack is the guy that says he knows how to operate.
Yeah.
And can't operate for shit.
Right. This is like the step of 101 getting into operating.
Yes.
For a labor transition.
You get in the home pack.
Right. And so at the end of the day, we're all parking the machines and we got to line them up all straight in the line. And so we're tracking out over there and everyone's bringing all these machines. And he jumps back in and he's starting all these machines, fucking critiquing them. And I'm like, well, they were all just lined up. Now they're all just fucking jacked up. So I just, whatever.
Yeah.
Here comes the owner. Here comes the investors. Here comes the head honchos. Well, Chompers decided he was going to go save the day and go hoe pack for a little bit longer. So he's out there hoe packing and the camera crews are coming in. Everybody's fucking coming in. And I'm not quite sure why he decided to park the machine and get off the way he did. But he comes in high speed, right past everybody.
Yep.
Everyone's kind of already looking at him now, like, what the fuck? Like, he's showing off. And he parks the tracks on an angle from the cab. Like, so instead of getting out on the cab onto the steps, you got like a foot or so.
Yep.
It was on like a 45 degree angle. So there was no track to step up. The dude gets out. And I've been telling the owner about this.
A nice 3 foot drop for him.
But watch this. I was telling the owner about how fucking retarded they were for hiring Chompers and right. Like it finally built up to this scenario. The dude leaves the machine running and again he's trying to tweak all the machines to get them lined up straight. As he lifts up the safety latch to get out, he goes out, he slips, he misses his step, the fucking machine's running, his fucking hoodie and his shirt slip over the fucking handle and he is dangling and the fucking horn is going off. He's fucking dangling, dude. And the news crew's there. Everybody's there. And I was like,
there's your all-star.
There's your all-star right there, bud. Fucking higher than a kite, dude. Just sitting there fucking dangling on the side of the excavator, man.
That's awesome.
So I don't know if weed exactly weed on the job.
Yeah, weed and the job don't mix.
You know, there's a million different ways to get around and eat an apple pie. Just not on the job. Yeah. Oh, you should have been there, dude. It was just phenomenal.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm trying to think if we had any, I don't think we had anything that extreme happen. We typically had the typical story of either it was a guy who drank too much and was like drunk on the job. We did have a guy at the airport. He was running, man, I don't even remember what machine he was running. I want to say it was like the PC-800 pulling concrete and the guy kept fucking going to sleep.
Yeah.
Like legit, like he would just fall asleep while he's operating.
Yeah, I could see.
And then all of a sudden the machine would start swinging or the boom would start going down or the stick would start going out. And you're just like,
the most expensive machine on the job.
Yeah, let's put him in that one.
Smoking it up.
My favorite part is they didn't yank him out of it till like noon. It's like, why the fuck did it take that long? Yeah. Yeah, that should have been a little like once or twice and then you're out, bud. So yeah, that's,
I don't know. I've seen it work both ways. Like I said, when you had Hot Rod there and then you had Chompers there.
Yeah.
You know, it went back and forth, man.
The diverse contrast of potheads on the job.
You know, I guarantee if 50 to 60% of the people that are going to listen to this are smokers every day.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the other people be like, I don't do that until the weekend.
So I don't know this officially, but unofficially I know this. When I was at Dan's, they absolutely had a clean and a dirty list internally that they knew about because...
Well, there's pre-employment clean and dirty. Then there's, you know, your shit clean and dirty list.
Well, so what happened, I'll tell you my story, is I hired in with them. At my old employer, I had just gone and taken my DOT piss test. I had just done my random piss test at the old employer. And then I had just done my pre-employment piss test with Dan's. And then... Man, there was one other. Maybe it was for another job. Or no. It was for my annual. I can't remember if it was my annual physical. I had done 4 piss tests in the span of about a month and a half.
Oh, yeah.
And so at this point, I'm like, I'm on the gravy train. Like, I'm not going to have to take a piss test for a while.
Right.
And I just got this brand new job. I'm going to go home. And I'm going to celebratory light up because it's been like a month and a half since I've been able to smoke. Because my old employer, he was cool. He's like, yeah, we're going to send you in for a quote unquote random piss test here in the next 30 days. Wink, wink. It's like, message received, Captain. And so I would not smoke for 30 days. And so I'm coming off like this month and a half because I had gone and taken the random. Then I had done my DOT physical, which was another one. So I had been like a month and a half, 2 months. So I get this new job and I'm like, fuck, I'm set. I'm not going to go back to smoking full time because I know this new place randoms. But there's no way they're going to pull me out of the barrel being here for a week. So sure enough, I toke up, enjoy myself. And like 3 days later, I'm on the job. I'm running my dozer and the foreman comes down and he's like, I need you to go take a piss test. I was like, no, you don't. He goes, what do you mean? I said, just tired in, just did unemployment. He's like, oh, okay. So he comes, goes to his truck, makes a phone call, comes back. Yeah, they said it's for your DOT. I said, nope, that ain't true because I just took that last month of my old employer. I'm set for a year for DOT. Oh, okay. So he goes back to his truck, makes another phone call, comes back a third time, and he's like, yeah, it turns out it's just a random. They pulled you for a random. And I just flat out leveled with him. I was like, dude, if you make me go take this piss test, I will not have a job at the end of the day.
Right.
He goes, really? I said, yeah. I just took 4 fucking piss tests in the last month and a half. I figured I was safe. My mistake. I fucking smoked 2 nights ago. I ain't going to pass. He's like, all right, let me see what I can do. So he goes back to his truck, comes back like 10 minutes later. He's like, hey, you're fine. They're going to send someone else. And guess what? I was with that company for 5.5 years. I never got asked to take a piss test again.
Right.
But I had a buddy of mine that I knew definitively did not smoke, and he got popped 3 times at the time that I was there.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when I was like, I got the game now. Like, they've got their clean pool that they randomly pick from.
Right. So, yeah, you know, but that's just kind of how the trades work anymore. Like, you know, you got the guys that drink a little too much. You got the rough crowd, the party crowd, the guys that kind of hit the moon every so often to... You know, man, they make us a lot of fucking money.
Yep.
So, I mean, you kind of all
you got to roll with it. And that's so for those of you listening that don't really understand the dynamics of why drug testing is the way that it is, and ultimately it doesn't matter how your employer feels about drug testing. It's insurance companies that determine that.
Yeah.
It's not your employer sitting and just so you direct your anger in the right way. You know, you might have a dick employer that's like, fuck drugs and weed is terrible. Okay, he's a dick, but.
They got to get so many on record, though.
When it comes to why companies have to drug test, it doesn't have anything to do with the actual employer. It has to do with the insurance companies. The insurance companies require them to do random drug testing in order to provide insurance. And so the sad thing about the trades, and I'm sorry for the voice cracking. I know I sound like a 12-year-old boy right now.
He's growing up.
I'm growing up. My balls are dropping, but my allergies are still going nuts. Like, yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm having a rough time right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's been rough. That's why you hear us coughing on the microphones. This one and last week's podcast, we were both coughing. So anyway, back to the story. That's why your employer, regardless of their stance on weed and drug testing, they have to test. The insurance company requires it. And unfortunately, that's why any sort of legalization legislation that comes through for weed isn't materially going to impact the trades. Like, I hate to say that because I am just right there with everybody else. I would love for drug testing to go away.
It's a work hard, play hard kind of attitude.
It is. And the sad thing, the entire industry recognizes if you were to walk onto a job site tomorrow,
you would have nobody.
Exactly. And you piss tested everybody on and don't even leave it at the dirt world. Let's go on a fucking Amazon warehouse job and we're taking all the trades. You're getting drug tested right now. You would have 10% of the entire work site left. Yeah. Everybody else would be sitting at home.
Yep.
Like, it's widely accepted.
Yeah.
But it's never going to change until the insurance companies decide to change.
And it gets worse with the high-profile jobs, high-profile companies. You know, once you start getting over 50 to 100 employer kind of
The insurance companies get way stricter.
You know, it's a lot more random. It's a lot more in-house. It's a lot more testing. I mean, you work for a government agency, you know, it's the same way, but it's just a random, like they're not trying to discriminate, but we got to pull some people and we got to do some testing. I mean, there's no way around it.
Yep. Unfortunately, that's just where we're at on that.
Yeah. But it's not going to ever stop. It's never going to go away. I mean, I just don't understand though, how drinking is okay. 'Cause the next day, but you can't go smoke weed and then show up the next day.
Yeah, and that's where you get into the ongoing.
You piss the alcohol out right away, right? You could still wake up hungover.
And it's not empty. Even just hungover. Fuck, you still wake up drunk the next morning, depending on how much you drank and how late you drank.
Right, but it actually affects you the next day versus a dude yesterday that was high, you know, being pretty efficient today. So,
yeah, yep.
You know, there's no target. There's no... I mean, you could look at some people and be like, there's no fucking way you pass a drug test, dude. There's no way.
Yes.
And then you see his skill set on a job and you're like,
I will never send you for a drug test.
Yes. You will definitely make the list, dude.
I will pee in a cup on your behalf so that you will stay here.
I will get this done. Do not worry. Just show up.
Yeah. Drug testing is one of those things. It's just... when you really go down the path of how infrequently it works.
You know, they need to change it more towards like a safety record. Like if you fuck up all the time, you know, maybe we should start doing a little more testing on the fuck up.
Well, and that's a whole other aspect of it.
Not just, oh, you had an accident today. Like, he fucked up once. Okay. Twice. Okay. Oh, a different employer. Okay. Kind of like a driver's right. license record.
Yep.
And then start going, you know, this guy over here, we're going to have to keep an eye on him. He's coming in at like a medium risk on drug testing. It's fucked up some shit. Like you can't just single everybody out either that way. Could have just, you know, you can't discriminate. Well,
and that's where you cross over into getting into when there's a job site accident. So prime example, when I was working at Dan's, I was running a loader and we had a lane shut down. And so there was the exit coming out of the parking lot. You had to cross over the lane that we were working on that was shut down. And then you got to the active lane. So anyone exiting this parking lot had to travel through our job site and then turn onto the road. And so I'm coming down the road one day in my loader and this girl, she's probably, I don't know, 19, 20. She was young. Totally 100% not paying attention whatsoever. And I'm watching her. She's coming up to where she needs to cross my lane. And she's looking the opposite direction in traffic. And I'm like, okay. So I slowed way down because I figured eventually she's going to look back at me. Right? Because in order to turn right, she's got to look left to make sure no cars are coming. Which means naturally she's going to see a giant fucking loader sitting 20 feet from her. So I slow way down. I'm creeping. And she stops before she gets onto the job. And she's still looking off to the right. I don't know what the fuck she was looking at, but she's looking off to the right. I'm like, okay. So I'm right on top of her now. I'm like, well, fuck, I'm just going to go ahead and go because she's got to check left before she just hammers on the gas. Like any sane human being would do that because it's suicide to just jump out in traffic without looking. So I hit the gas and I start going. Next thing I know, she doesn't even bat an eye my direction. Just hammers on the gas to pull out into traffic.
Doesn't even care.
And so at this point, I'm like 3/4 of the way across in front of her. I don't have the option to brake. So I hammer the gas down on the loader to try to get out from being in front of her. She smacks right into the rear loader tire.
Awesome. And
I'm in this huge, a Komatsu WA320. Not a little loader.
Right. Can't miss it.
Dude, bright yellow. I barely even felt a thump in the cab. And the whole front quarter of her car is just this crumpled mess. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, fantastic. So I pull the loader forward in order for us to not be in the middle of the intersection so that we can figure out what we need to do here. She apparently took that as she finally realized what a fucking idiot she was. Then she panicked and she just drives off.
Thank God.
That's what I said. I was like, thank you. You made my day so much better. And where I'm ultimately going with this whole story is that was not even remotely close to being my fault.
Yeah.
I had zero fault in that accident. That was 100% her being a terrible driver and not looking at what she was doing. However, because of our fucked up system, that would have been an automatic piss test for me, and I would have lost my job for something that I had no responsibility. Well,
and that's where everything's going anymore is like the insurance. They're looking for somebody to blame. They're looking for something to blame. Because once they can put the blame on it, it stops.
Right.
Right. So you could, like you just said, you could just be sitting there. Somebody hits you, even though it was their fucking fault totally. If you piss dirty or you're drunk from the night before, even though you had
nothing to do with it,
no issues going on, nothing to do with it, they hit you, you're automatically fired. Their insurance company's getting jacked, like they're paying fines. Like,
right.
That's the issue with
the current system.
Yeah.
The current system is fucked.
The laws and regulations, like they're in place for a certain reason.
Why are you the way that you are?
I don't know. I ask that every day.
No, that's for the insurance companies. Like, why are you that way? Like, why do you have to be an asshole?
You know, everything, like, so one person makes a fuck up and then they try to basically just make like a rule that's going to just catch everything in an umbrella. Like, I know that you didn't fuck up over here, but you're in the scope of what's in the realm. You're all going down for someone's fuck up. Like,
right.
So they keep changing all these rules and laws. But, you know, one job I would smoke weed on.
What's that?
Is the guy that's got to clean the fucking shitters on a job site.
Yeah. That would 100% be worth smoking weed.
Just imagine, dude, like opening the door, fucking the log cabin is just stacked the fuck up to the roof, shit everywhere. Like, yeah, dude. How could you do that soberly?
The worst thing that could happen is you get drug tested and lose your job, in which case I would consider that a win.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you a funny story. I was sitting.
This is their attitude every time.
I am tired.
Every time that shit house door. Yeah. Every time that shit house door opens.
Dude, get this. I shipped the guys home the one day. I was sitting in Colorado on a job site. And we're going through all the line items, scope of work, planning out like the rest of the week. It was raining all week long. So like I said, we cut the guys loose early that day. And the way the company trucks were parked in my view of my window, I was the younger on seniority. So I was looking at the shitters. The bastards took the view.
Yep.
So I'm sitting here and every time the fucking shit truck would come on, you could smell the aroma of everything. So good.
Man, it churns it. It really unleashes the really ripe stuff.
Yeah, it churns it, dude. So like good. You can't just help but look and be like, oh, dude.
Yeah.
That job would just fucking suck.
You can taste it.
Right. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, someone ate corn last night.
Yeah.
I'm like, that job would just fucking suck.
Yeah.
But I'm like, thankfully that man showed up to his job, right?
100%.
I'm like, I don't know how he's doing it. I couldn't do that.
No, I couldn't.
You know?
Even though you keep trying to make me.
You know.
Rick is convinced that we need to go buy a shit truck and start pumping tanks.
We're buying a shit truck.
And I keep telling him, I'm not getting my CDL again, and there's no way in hell I'm driving a shit truck.
Well, after this story, you're going to want to fucking drive the shit truck and pull the hose and pump the septic tank.
No desire.
So watch this, dude. This poor soul is cleaning the shitters, and there's like six of them. And he gets down to like the last two. And I'm just like, dude, just fucking hurry up. I can't even concentrate, yeah. Right? And all of a sudden, he's in there. So I'm back to the computer typing and doing my thing. And all of a sudden, I hear, bam, the fucking holes blew apart.
Oh.
And you hear somebody, fucking screaming. The fucking hose.
You got messed up, Aaron.
The hose is in the port-a-john whipping the dude. He's trying to grab a hold of it. And like, dude, there's shit fucking flying everywhere. So he comes out, and it's like the dude trying to wrestle the hose. He's on the ground hanging onto his fucking hose that went into, like, from the suction to a reverse vacuum.
Oh.
Something happened, and, like, the
blowing shit.
It was blowing shit, says sucking shit. And next thing you know, this fucking hose is flying all over. It covers the fucking job trailer on my window. The fucking shit and toilet papers oozing down my fucking window. God. This dude was everywhere. I grabbed a garbage can. I start fucking vomiting.
Yeah.
You know, this poor soul's out there just covered in shit. Finally, he just decides to let go of the hose.
I am tired. Yeah.
He goes over and he's trying to shut the fucking valve off. Can't get the valve to shut off. So he opens the door with his hose going crazy, jumps in the truck covered in human waste.
Yeah.
Shuts the fucking truck down. And now, like, it's just dead silence.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh my God.
Like, what happens now?
Yeah. I'm like, I don't even want to go outside.
We're going to need another shit truck.
So thankfully, there was a back door. And I'm like, I'm about to go out the back door to see how bad it is. And all of a sudden, I hear, he gets the truck running back. And I'm like, oh God.
So you got the pressure washer out?
He's got the garden hose, and he's rinsing off my window.
Nice.
Thinking that, you know, he's doing me justice. Yeah. I wish it was just left covered in shit, because when that shit went washing down and I seen that I left my fucking truck window down.
Oh.
In the rainstorm. Oh. Now there's fucking human shit inside the pickup.
Yeah. Did you sell it?
It was a company truck. I called the fucking nearest detail dude.
Yeah.
And was like, here's the company credit card, bud.
Whatever you need to charge.
Yeah. So I literally took off like some of my clothes and sold to other guys so we could get this dude dressed up. Like, he was out there rinsing down. And the one superintendent's out there hosing him down. Like, the dude's like butt ass naked into his underwear. And we're like, here's some clothes for you, dude. Like, you deserve it and earn it. And best of luck.
Yes. You know, you tell your boss you need a raise.
So I guess that would be a job. Like, maybe I'd smoke some weed on daily, maybe even during. Like, but they
100% but I would be smoking during the job.
They did end of story. Like, they did bring a power washing company out.
Yeah.
I didn't get my pickup truck back for like 4 days.
Because they had to reupholster it?
Yeah, it was pretty rough, dude. Like, I didn't even go out there. Like, I just straight up called the record company. The record company
hooked it. Yeah.
Took it to the detail company. So, I mean, with all that being said, it can't be that bad, if we own a shit truck and you're pulling the hose.
See, you just opening that story. The box. You came out of that story with a totally different conclusion. I came
out there clean, dude. Yeah. I was still clean.
Oh yeah.
You see how this is going to go? You're going to be like the shit guy that drives a truck.
Exactly. You guys are. Yeah. You're coming out of this with a totally different conclusion, because my conclusion is there ain't no fucking way I'm getting my CDL again. After that story.
Hey, look, I'll just buy a truck that don't need a CDL.
And you
how about a chauffeur's license? And and we'll just even scratch that.
You're going to chauffeur turds around town?
We're going to be the number one and the number two business.
The number one and the number two business.
Yeah, that's right. We gonna deal with your poo like Winnie the Pooh.
One of the trucks that used to come into the Home Depot I worked at, on the back of it said, your shit is my bread and butter.
That's no lie, baby. Yeah. That's called the honey pot.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Those trucks, God, every time they come out on site, we're talking to a bunch of trades guys. You had to have experienced it. I mean, but just in case you haven't.
We could be talking to someone in a cubicle that's true. Just like,
if you've never experienced
mind
it before,
blown with these conversations.
These trucks have these pumps that when they suck the shit out,
the smell,
it churns it and then it puts it into this tank. Well, as the tank fills with shit, the air has to go somewhere, and it vents out the top of the truck.
Yes.
And you can be, like, no exaggeration, you can be, like, 400 or 500 yards away from where the truck is actually doing the business of sucking out the shit house, and you will 1,000% taste it in the cab, enclosed cab with the air conditioned, pressurized cab, and you can taste the shit because it is that thick in the air when one of these trucks is going
to town. When you do smell that, that's when you know that's the time to start walking towards the outhouse, because it's going to be a clean shitter when you get there.
So it will be clean, but they douse it down with their water hose. So generally, my general rule of thumb is you wait about a half hour on a nice sunny day, because that lets all of that humid water kind of evaporate off. And then you've got a beautifully pristine shit house that you can go in with your personal roll of toilet paper, and you can have yourself a nice sit down. And it smells pretty rosy when it's just the blue water.
You just made an outhouse sound so delightful. Well, shit.
But now we get into the dangers of a clean shit house. The one thing no one ever talks to you about, and here's your hot tip if you're new to the industry. No one ever warns you about the Smurf butt. So when you go into a nice empty shitter, your initial impression is I am in my own palace here. And it is beautiful and clean. I don't have to deal with anyone else's shit.
Yeah.
And it's all fun and games until that first turd hits the blue water.
And it comes up and splashes the bottom. And
the kiss of Poseidon on your asshole, and you realize that that's the blue water.
Did you actually watch it?
No.
Oh.
Don't act like you haven't been there. We all know what it is.
Yeah, you know.
You get the drop, fresh, the plop, cold ass, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, hey there, hey.
God dang it.
Except in the outhouse, it's the blue water.
Yeah.
And you know they don't 100% clean those tanks out.
Well, that's fresh water.
Water that's touching your bunghole.
Are you sure? They just dye the wastewater and backwash a little.
But the thing is, you can't ever 100% clean all the shit out of that thing with that vacuum too. You know, there's a little shit back in there.
Yeah, you know, the backwash.
And so when you get that little Smurf butt, it's not just the blue water.
I hope these people ain't eating lunch or something as they're listening.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, guys.
Sorry. We were good on the weed conversation.
I got one more about the shitter.
What is it?
So, when I was working on the side of the mountains, like the Port-a-John constantly moved for the job site. The further as we went up or the further as we went down, you had to keep the Port-a-John within so many feet of the job, right? Because we're mobile. So we were developing this road and we got all the way to the top. So we're finally starting to do the site prep cleanup, and we're going to mobilization back down the hillside. So there was probably, I don't know, 20-ish or so guys still up at the top, and I was running the wheel loader today. And I went into the bathroom. I parked the loader in front, went into the bathroom, and then I walked around to make sure nothing else around the backside. So I walked around the loader, got up in the loader, and in the meantime, I jump in, I turn the safety back off, and I get in there, and I start scooping up the outhouse.
Yep.
And I pick it up, and I didn't know that there was a ride control button that would like not keep the house from bouncing up and down.
Yeah.
So I'm going, I back up and I start going down the mountain, and
got a little bounce to her.
Yeah. As the faster the loader went, the higher that the outhouse bounced.
Yep.
And I got like kind of out of control. So I was like a bucking horse, dude. I was fucking the shit out of the steering wheel. Like I was just.
Yep.
So I'm trying to slow it back down. Well, I finally get all the way down.
But you can't slow down.
Right.
You can't just hammer on the brakes, because then off goes the shit house.
Yep. Right. I get all the way down the mountain and I set it out and I set it down and I back up.
And the door comes flying open.
Like a spider monkey, dude. This dude come out covered. With the blue Poseidon. Madder in hell. He was on the fucking side of the door, rips the door open, like trying to rip me out of the machine. He was so pissed.
No. Lock the door.
Yeah. And I'm out. Like, dude, there was nobody in there, man. Right. I went,
literally
used it,
just checked it,
walked around it, and I said, what idiot walks into the porta giant with the loader sitting right in front of it
with the forks on.
Right. Like, you didn't yell.
That's
you didn't
your do bad, none. Man.
Like, he's like, I was yelling. It's like, oh, like, I'm going to hear
right.
you.
Right. In an enclosed. Yeah. Yeah.
So those are my two shit stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were lovely. Thank you for sharing those.
Well,
Rick.
You know, I'm glad I gave it out. Yeah, absolutely. Those are the memories that I have to live with visually. And now I am passing it along.
I appreciate that. Cause you know, I don't think
they're pretty good.
Everybody's got them.
Oh yeah.
You can't get in this industry and not come out of with a shithouse story.
Like, come on. You've never backed like a pickup up to the door and left another employee in there for a little bit.
Surprisingly enough, I have not done that. And I was always, I would like double and triple check to make sure no one was in the shithouse before I took it down the road. Cause that was like one of my big paranoid things, is that I was one of these days going to pick one up. There was going to be some guy in it, and then I was going to do something where it spilled off to the side, and I was going to be responsible for covering someone and shit.
Yeah, but you know, people pay big money for like a mud bath.
It's a different kind of mud, though.
But they pay serious money.
They do. Yes, you know? They do.
I don't know, man. I just got to watch those outhouses.
You do have to watch those outhouses.
You know, it's just...
I'll give you a sound piece of advice. Make sure you put some sandbags in the bottom of those babies. Otherwise, the first little windstorm that comes up, you're going to be on for a ride. And most of the time, those rides don't end well.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I've picked up my share of fallen shit houses. That's, you know, that's the other part. We talk about being a loader operator. I talk about it all the time on my channel. I've talked about it here on the podcast. But, you know, that's one of those other small details of the industry that no one really reveals to you until you find yourself in that position of being the loader man on a job. The shit houses are now your responsibility to transport those around. And likewise, when they fall over, you got to go over there and fork them up, you know, and get them back upright again.
Yeah.
And they don't smell good when they've been on their side.
No.
And now luckily I get to do it with my fork, so I'm not getting out of the cab, but still the stench again. Anytime you jostle the turds, they release like
an aroma of perfume.
Yeah, you could have shit sitting for like 4 or 5 weeks to where most of the surface level smell has kind of evaporated off. But if you disturb the turd pile, like a whole new wave.
Yeah, that would be like thick and rich. Be like the perfume that I would put on a pig.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think.
Like, if you had to make a perfume or a cologne for a pig, like, that's what I think.
Honestly, I think the pig would even find that offensive. You think? Like, it's that bad. Mm. It's terrible. It's so, and it's, it stings, literally stings the nostrils because it sits in there and kind of, it's like a pot still. It really just, it lets all the, like, easy poo gases waft away.
Yeah, that's true.
And it just distills down into this very rancid poo gas.
You know, speaking of all that, I wonder how many guys listening here on the radio, like, just dine and dash, like stop at McDonald's early in the morning to do their business and run away. Cause like, if I do something like that, I feel like I got to buy a Coke or a coffee or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's like,
I feel like
leaving a tip on the end table. For the hooker.
Like, just doing like the deed. Like I got to give them something.
I feel that way about gas stations. If I go in a gas station, I drop a deuce. I'm sorry. I'll buy a candy bar.
Right.
A tip for tat.
Right. I mean, you see the guys just like beeline out the door, pff, gone. Yeah. It's like,
don't do the walk of shame.
Yeah.
Like, be a man about it. Man,
you got
up.
Toilet paper on your shoe, boy.
Yeah.
You know?
Be a man about it. Go buy a Snickers.
Right. Spend a couple bucks.
Yeah.
They spent $15 an hour to clean that thing for you.
That's right.
You know?
You got to give back.
It's just crazy, man. I can't believe we're talking about poo this long.
I will say I was a little apprehensive to go down this road, but at the same time, I feel like enough guys and girls, because let's be honest, girls have it a lot worse than we do because we get to stand for half our business. They're sitting for all of it. But I will say that I think everyone in this industry has had enough shithouse experiences that this is relatable material.
It is. You know, if you're in the trades, you all have outhouse experience. You got the gas station, McDonald's experience.
Yes.
Like, you know, you got the freaking guys going down the road that got the woods experience.
That's true.
I got another one.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Woods?
Oh, yeah. So listen to this.
I've got a woods story. I'm not going to tell it, but I've got one.
Brian, you don't have to talk about a woods story, dude. I'm talking about a guy going to the bathroom in the woods.
That's what I'm talking about.
You're taking this a whole different conversation.
Well, that's a different Woods story.
All right. So when I was working at the Road Commission for a few years, and his name was Kim. I won't say his last name in case he's listening to the podcast.
Yep.
Great dude. Old gentleman. Had like bowel syndrome problems. And he was the kind of guy that would climb up in the back of the dump truck.
Oh, those are the worst.
And drop a bomb.
Stay right? away from my truck.
So we're working. We're doing, I don't know, some ditching down the road or whatever, thinking we're in the middle of fucking nowhere. And we're working right up to a woods that's probably like 40 or 80 acres. And Kim goes wandering into the wood with his toilet paper. You know, he's got his, like his little, he packs in like,
yeah,
he's got all the utensils you, and
you
everything.
Got like a little bathroom toolbox you carry yeah. out there with you.
Yep.
You got know, your and, wipes and your yep. toilet paper, maybe yep. a little and newspaper for reading material. Yeah.
And he, and he goes wandering in the woods, man. And it's been a while.
Yeah.
And
might have to send out a search party.
Yeah. And all of a sudden here come Kim back. And this old dude, he had to be, I don't know, late 50s, early 60s. And he comes in and he kind of looked like Shrek, right? Real tall, gumpy, and a smile. Like the way he talked, it was just funny. And he comes back. He's like, oh shit. Oh, you guys won't believe. Oh, we're about to believe, right? And he comes in. He's like, you guys won't believe. Well, Kim, we're going to believe. So he gets talking and he's like, I walked all the way into the woods to take a shit, and I'm hunched over up against this tree doing my thing. And all of a sudden, like a couple of minutes go by and he's doing his thing. He's like, I hear this guy going, Hey, you.
That would be the worst.
And he says, he's looking around like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And he looks up, there's a bow hunter.
Oh,
up in a tree stand looking God, straight
that's
down.
That's uncomfortable.
He said, oh, that he, is said uncomfortable. He didn't even finish. He was still shitting and he's pulling up his pants. He comes running out the woods, dude.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Gotcha, bitch.
you imagine
a more
up there.
Uncomfortable situation.
I won't get me the big buck. Yeah.
God. And that's the thing too, is like, I think about it from the perspective of the pooper, but the victim in the tree is yeah. really the travesty
but,
here.
But who do you feel more sympathy for?
I don't
know. The guy that like, climbed the tree or the guy that had to go.
No, like, that's the thing. You start unpeeling the onion layers of this story. And it's like, yeah. well, now I'm conflicted on who I feel worse for. Do I feel worse for the guy on the ground or the guy who was just trying to mind his own business?
Right.
And some guy comes up and shits against his tree. Like,
right.
And this, the best part is your buddy Kim gets to run away. That guy in the tree stand has
up
to come
there with
out
the
of the
aroma,
tree.
Climbing down
over top of a shit pile.
Step in it. Drops his fucking bow in the pile of poo.
Oh, God. That's yeah. bad. That's bad.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't even know where to go from here.
That was like, rough, dude. That was a rough follow-up behind. Like, I think I just crushed the episode with that.
Yeah, I think we need to wrap this one up just because I don't know where we go from here. I don't know how to get out of
That's
the poo hole.
That's what she said.
I don't know how to get out of the poo hole we're in. So I'm in agreement. Let's wrap this one up. Thank you guys again for listening and sticking with us. I apologize at the gratuitous.
We all got the stories. We all got the stories.
It's all relatable. You guys drop
some comments. Follow up with us, ship us some emails, whatever, and get the stories out to us. We'll get them on the air.
Absolutely. DieselandIronProductions.com. Look for the podcast tab over on the sidebar.
In about 2 weeks, I think we're about to do a couple live streams, maybe.
Yeah, we might be doing some live streams on the YouTube channel, so stay posted tuned for those. We'll catch you guys on the next episode.